I gotta tell you something. Besides all of you, I'm probably the luckiest person here at Grey Fox today. This is just incredible. I'm gonna say it for the last time today, probably this is the Rounder Records first quality musical. Supplies, Master's Workshop stage. We have another workshop tomorrow morning, swap with Liza Constable. If you want to catch that, you want to swap a song, come by tomorrow morning. It'll be a nice non-denominational, very casual thing right here. And I don't know what to tell you. I'm going to just start introducing folks and let them rattle it off. This is the Mando Master's Workshop on that. And, you know, I have this shameless promotion thing, too. If you're ever online, go to NAPR.org. You can listen to the folk show Sunday nights, or if you're in New Hampshire, you'll find us at New Hampshire Public Radio playing this music. So, stop by. My name is Kate McNally, and down there, have you heard that new Matt Flinner album on Compass Records? That's Matt Flinner. That leftover salmon guy with a new solo CD. We've got this new grass revivalist over here in the white shirt. He's got a project coming out with David Grisman sometime soon, maybe like in September. His name is Sam Bush. If you didn't catch the last workshop with the Traveler Music, you just kind of have to pick up the CD as soon as it comes out. Mr. Tim O'Brien at the Take it away, gentlemen. Thank you.
was a Bill Monroe tune called Big Mine. Jethro Burns used to say, Bill Monroe is the greatest and we've got his word for it. Welcome to our workshop. We thank you so much for being here. We kind of want to play a little bit. Timmy might have to leave a little before it's over due to some
prior commitments.
He got a job somewhere, actually. The rest of us will still be here. We're going to play for you and demonstrate, answer questions, hopefully mandolin related. Hopefully. Would you care to play one, Timothy?
I'm going to try one. On here. They're stretching out.
Tell us about that mandolin.
This is a nugget mandolin made by Michael Kimnitzer up in Central Lake, Michigan. He doesn't live in the lake itself. There's a town called Central Lake. I've been playing Irish music a lot the last couple of years, so I'll do a couple Irish tunes for you. Triple sound on that one.
one of the best mandolin players you'll ever hear, and one of the best sound mandolins you'll ever hear, too.
Right, I'll tell you that much.
I can hear it. Okay. Well, I mean, for me, one of the reasons that we play F5 type mandolins and make rhythm chops and that there are bluegrass festivals is because Bill Monroe got it all going. And although known for some hard drive and lots of fast tunes, some of his greatest moments were the beautiful slow pieces he played. And there's different ways to do it. That's why I just saw me make sure there's different ways to play the bridge on this. And I've been around so long, I heard Mr. Monroe play it different ways over the years. So go to the key of G minor, boys. This is sort of a Monroe version of I'm a Poor Wayfaring Stranger. Timmy O'Brien.
That's a lot better, Larry. Best thing a mandolin player can do when there's already three mandolins? Leave.
Tim's gotta go. He's hosting a drunken brawl in a couple of minutes. Right behind him. Drew Emmett, what do you want to play?
Songs about morphing. I'm sorry. It is. This is a soldier's joy. And essentially, I think that's pretty much what it's about, is soldiers getting wounded in battle and they're getting morphing. So. All right. I know it is a family
episode. Funny how a member of Leftover Salmon says that. My dad always told me it was called Payday in the Army. But, you know, that's my dad. Yeah. Well, he's not into morphine.
Thank you.
Mr. Matt Flinner, I think you probably got something to say, don't you? On the man lead. One of the best mandolin players you know, Matt Flinner. Come on.
That's why he plays banjo in my band.
Boy, you are a gentleman, Matt. You play the banjo, and I didn't know it.
True definition of it. Since I moved to the South, I figured out what a gentleman is. It's, that was how to play the banjo, but chooses not to. Well, I, you know, we just did a fiddle tune in D, but I was thinking there is a... this is totally self-indulgent on my part, but there's a record that Sam did with Alan Munt. Yeah, right.
Why don't we play the man?
There's a record that Sam and Alan Mundy did years ago that that I wore out, and I learned Sam's actually fiddle solos on the mandolin to Fork a Deer. And I was thinking maybe doing that one. That's a lot like Soldier's Joy, though. But when you get down to it, every mandolin tune starts to sound the same anyway after a while. So let's do it.
Yeah, you learn one lick, it works in every song for me. Being that we are workshopping, and it is about learning and figuring it out, if you have any mandolin questions, we'd love to answer them if we can. Yes, sir. My rhythm playing?
Yeah.
So the question was, could you go through the slowly go through the rhythm part where you're walking down in the chords on Soldier's Joy? So you guys probably actually know the names of these chords. Me, being from Kentucky, I just learned to play it, you know. I'll play the second. Matt is your best example for chording, I think, on this. So I'll play the second part if you want to slowly show the chords, Matt. And,
Well, when you're going from, let's say, D to G, as you do in that B part, one way of playing it, well, you know, when we're playing just a few mandolins like this, sometimes it's nice to fill out the rhythm a little bit, like, you don't have a guitar player or a bass player.
That's so why it sounds so good.
We could. We're dancing.
Just messing around now. We'll play with guitar players.
That's not something you'd... No, I need to do some more tequila anyway on this chord thing. So, you know, to make it... Instead of just chopping, as a mandolin usually does in a bluegrass band, maybe you can play a little bit more like a guitar player might, or I'll throw some bass runs in. So, for example, going from D to a G, or to a G7 like I did there. And then you're going to an A. So it's just a matter of, you're just going from a chord note to another chord note and throwing whatever's in between it. So,
yeah, especially in this situation where there isn't a bass or a guitar, that we're taking that and leading to the next chord. Got more tattoos than anybody ever met. Got a tattoo of an earring on his ear. He's got so many tattoos. Actually, Yorma Kalkin, one of the sweetest guys you'd ever meet. When he's playing his guitar, especially if you're sitting next to him, and the first time I ever played with him, I wasn't sure if I was like satisfying him or really pissing him off. Because he goes to the Yorma zone, which is a great zone of music, and but he gets this look on his face, and then finally I got to know him a little bit and realized that's when he's really getting down on the guitar. So, real sweet guy, but I mean, you know, that's the great thing about playing music. You might have a person you really look up to, and you know, I am a huge Yorma Kalkin fan, and graduated from high school in 1970, and I was always like really into the Jefferson Airplane and Hot Tuna, and so some dreams come true. You never know, you might wake up playing next to a guy you've admired a lot. So that's what I can say about Yorma. He's a real master musician, a generous master musician.
Hey, Sam.
Sir.
Yes, how many mandolins do you own?
What's your address?
I just won. And I carry it with me everywhere I go. Oh, you know, all of us up here, I mean, we've It's interesting. You get the, generally speaking, it is fun to have more than one mandolin because they all sound different. I don't care who made them and what have you. They all sound different. And if you own more than one, you might find there are certain things that are more useful for one than the other. I mean, I own a few Gibson Sam Bush models. Shameless plug. But, you know, and then I've got a Fender mandolin. I play on stage with 1956 Fender solid body. And I've got also to play on stage. I get to play the slide on, and I think it's about a 1938 National metal body mandolin. So, really, I mean, those are the main ones that are the work tools. The ones that, if you get a divorce, can't be taken away because that's the tools of your trade. Not that that's happened to me, of course. But yeah, you know, a really nice mandolin made by Steve Anderson too. That would be interesting to like everybody to talk about their mandolins because I mean, you know, when I was growing up, the only artist and by artist model, I mean the Gibson F style. It doesn't not an F5 necessarily, but Gibson F2 and F4 had the round sound hole. 22 Gibson introduced the F hole mandolin and the F5 mandolin, and as I was saying earlier, that you know probably one of the reasons I just you know was dying to get one of these is because Bill Munro played one, and that's also the reason a whole bunch of mandolin players, whether they know it or not, are playing mandolins without pick guards because Bill's broke once and he never put it back on. It wasn't a big thing for tone, it broke. I mean, I always did wonder though when I saw his if the pick guard covered up part of the F hole, would that inhibit the sound? But no, I don't believe it does. It's just whatever you're used to. This one, and the great thing about mandolins now, I got sidetracked in that. When I was growing up, the only mandolin like this was made by Gibson, and so somewhere around in the 60s, great builders like Randy Wood and Bob Gibbons and people like that were starting to make copies of old Gibson mandolins, and way surpassed, of course, tonally and playability what Gibson was making at that time. So out of that comes great builders. You don't have to have a Gibson, even though I've got my own model for them and everything. It doesn't have to be that because there's so many great builders. This one is a 1938 F5 that I acquired. Norman Blake had this before I did, and it was a totally different mandolin when he got it. I remember this mandolin, and then Norman's kind of guy, if an instrument doesn't sound right, he'll find out why and make it sound right, and not to mention his incredible touch. He's a great mandolin player. So he had Randy Wood shave the braces on this one about 1972. And then one night, in some kind of fit of whatever, he and John Hartford decided they hated the finish on this mandolin, and they scraped it all off. There's a tape of it. I've heard the tape, but I don't have a copy. And Hartford was the sportscaster on the tape. He was a DJ, and he had a great voice for him talking over the mic. And so I did hear the tape. Now Norman's going around the treble F hole. Let's get him for a close-up. He basically took a pocket knife, scraped it off one night, and then Randy Wood, this is like a varnish finish that was put on in 1973, early 73. So, but the point is, there's many great builders, and this was made by Gibson, but it was made a really good mandolin by Randy Wood. Drew, what? Tell them about your mandolin.
This is also a Nugget, like Tim's. In fact, Tim inspired me to get a Nugget mandolin. I have a couple more at home. I have one that I play mostly with the band. It's really beat up. And
what's your address?
And I also have an A model, which was the first Nugget I got, because that's what Tim played. And then later on, I started getting into listening to Sam, and I wanted to get an F5. And this was made in '84, and it was made in Eldora, Colorado, before he moved to Central Lake, Michigan. And a good friend of mine had it for many years. He was one of the first people to distribute Nugget mandolins. He had a music store in Colorado called Folk Arts, which became H.P. Woodsong. And he had this, and I used to bug him all the time to sell it to me, and he wouldn't do it. He just stayed in his closet all the time. So about 4 years ago at Rocky Grass, he brought it, and he said, well, I've decided to sell this to you now. Unfortunately, it was several thousand more dollars than I wanted to buy it. originally, but it worked out. But it's just a real beautiful piece. I don't know if you can see the inlay from back there, but it's just a work of art, and I don't take it out a lot because it's a really pristine instrument. But I decided for bluegrass festivals I would start bringing it out. I did finally for Telluride this year. I did break down and put a pickup and a mic in it, which was a big thing for me, and took it out of the closet. And it's better for it because you don't want a mandolin sitting in the closet; it doesn't do you any good. So anyway, so it came out of the closet, yeah. Anyway,
not that there's anything wrong with that.
Anyway, so Michael Chemnitzer built this, and he's a great builder, and hopefully he'll start building again one of these days.
This is a Gilchrist mandolin, which Stephen Gilchrist is a guy out in Australia that has been building for 20-some years, I guess, now, and he's putting out pretty consistently great stuff, as a lot of makers are, like Chemnitzer. I got it about 10 years ago when they were still semi-affordable, and it's gotten a little out of reach, I think. Now, a lot of the great makers they deserve to be getting, you know, paid real well for what they do, so I'm really glad to see that, but, you know, it's hard to afford it when you're a musician, but there are a lot of really good makers coming up, with some Czech builders, some guys that are, it seems like there's a kind of a rage right now to build F5 mandolins or A mandolins, but you can find some future Gilchrist and Nugget makers. Yeah? All right. I'm sure there's, yeah. Somebody here with a tent that's got some good stuff? All right. So, anyway. Yeah, let's play some.
Well, since there's no request, we'll... Jim and Jesse fan.
Old Dangerfield.
Yeah. Is it me? Oh, okay. You'll know it, Drew. Let's play Stump the Drew.
That would be hard.
It is funny because, I mean, you know, we all love bluegrass music and the traditions of it and the great players through the years, and there's so many, you know, there isn't any one influence on any of us, I'm sure, and but it does come down to we're going to play a little blues number, and really the greatest blues player for me was Bill Monroe, and although maybe you might not think of him that way, I certainly do, and if you study old mandolin players and find CDs of blues mandolin, you go back to the first Bill Monroe kind of records, and it was more of a blues, and there was a kind of a music that was kind of common then, the stomp. About, you know, it wasn't all fast, it wasn't about playing fast and everything. You can always add more notes, as I'm sure we're fixing to do. But this one, real early bluegrass tune, the bluegrass stomp. Thank you. Neighbors, they tell us our time is just about up. Actually, it is up, but we're going to play one more anyway. Any more questions or anything? This is your last chance to abuse us for a while. Well, it's on eBay already, man. The G A D. Thank you.
What were you thinking?
Not much.
In the words of Crash Davis from the movie Bull Durham, don't think, meat. When you're truly jamming and everything's going really well, I don't think you really are thinking about it. You're supposed to do that when you practice. Tim O'Brien, they had to leave him. This one, I guess, Kenny Baker played this tune when he was playing with Bill Monroe. We're going to do for you. Players aren't obsessed with tuning, you just have to. Whoever invented this double string stuff, I'd like to meet that person. It's called, there's some called Big Sandy, some called Across the Big Sandy, Big Sandy River. Big Sandy! Thank you. Drew Emmett.